Hello, everyone. This is Bill Apter, and I just finished taping an episode of Count It Out with Mike and Tyler, or Tyler and Mike. They're brilliant hosts. You've got to listen. You've got to see Count It Out. Yeah, I endorse it. They've got the After Chat seal of approval.
Well, we are live, pals, and welcome to a very special edition of Count It Out with Mike and Tyler. What is that I always say? The Bill Apter Seal of Approved Count It Out with Mike and Tyler. My name is Tyler, and I am joined by the man living the gimmick tonight, Mojito Mike. Mike, what's going on, brother? Yeah, that's your cue. Hold it up.
How are you, you fine young gentleman?
Oh, that is... Such a pleasant welcome this week. The mojitos really sophisticate you up, you good sir.
You should have saw me the entire time I was on the island where in Cayman Islands, where I discovered the beauty of the mojito. If I was drinking a mojito, I was in a great mood. And you throw some margaritas into me, and it's just debauchery.
Really, eh? My vacation drink when I go away to Cuba, I get margaritas, like a blended margarita. Sorry, I'm lying to you. I get rum and coke, and then I take a blended margarita and pour it on top of the rum and coke because I have those big bubba drinks. It is the most delicious thing on the planet. So
you're mixing rum and tequila?
Yeah, and I'm mixing it.
I can almost see you do that with like a daiquiri because at least it's rum and rum.
Nope.
Really?
That fucks you up.
Yeah, I'm sure it does.
It's my vacation drink. That's the drink that makes me need a vacation from my vacation.
Sounds like it would taste like Mark Henry's taint, though.
Oh, it's so good. So Mark Henry must have a hell of a taint, let me tell you, because it's delicious. Next year, the SummerSlam live show that we do together, we're gonna drink those together in person.
All right, we got to give him a name then. I mean, because it sounds like something you've invented.
Well, I actually stole it from this big guy that he named him after himself, and every bartender on the resort knew it. So from now on, we'll just call him Tyler Wolf.
Well, I was going to say we should name it after the podcast, but okay.
All right, fine. We'll name narcissistic. It. Let's name it the Bill Apter.
There you go.
We're going to drink a bunch of Apters.
I'm going to get fucking Aptered tonight.
This week I'm going to be taking a look at the top seven Undertaker versus Mankind feud moments, which is going to be a lot of fun. After the list, as you guys have heard the last couple of weeks, Mike and I have drafted a couple of rosters up here. Well, You know, you always hear these like draft shows and it's fun. You do the draft, but what do you do with those people after you draft it? You just kind of forget about it. Well, not on Count It Out. We are going to present to you guys each of what our first cards would look like as kind of a little preview, because Mike and I are going to start doing this on a weekly basis, not on the Count It Out show, but every Wednesday on the YouTube channel. We're going to alternate weeks, and Mike is going to continue booking his fantasy roster, and I'm going to continue booking my fantasy roster because we're having a lot of fun doing this. So keep an eye out for that show.
We didn't discuss this off air, and I'll forget to bring it up off air. So we'll just do some housekeeping here. Let's make sure we do it that if it's a week that we're doing this, on the week that I'm doing a list, you're doing a card.
Yeah, good call. That's good.
You know what I mean? That way we don't have double the homework to do every week.
Mm-hmm. And I believe while we're still doing house cleaning, in 2 weeks, we're going to be joined by my little co-host on the Classic Match Classroom, Anthony. He's going to come on. We're going to let him do a list. I haven't even told Anthony that we booked him yet. So he's listening and being like, what the hell? We've talked about bringing him on for a while. Oh, we really talked about it. Anthony sent me a message a couple of weeks ago after you brought up a point about Xbox Heat. And we're going to take a deep dive into that because, you know, we're starting to move away from doing the news every week because, like, I don't know, everybody does the news. So we want to start doing like kind of fun conversations like that. You know, we've done in the past with what would happen if Sting took over the leader of the NWO. And I think this X-Pac heat thing and go away heat is a fun topic to talk about.
Can I say something real quick about this, too?
Yeah.
being on the subject of not doing too much news on the show, something happened recently in podcast land that made me want to do this move away from news so much more. You've probably heard that. So there's this article going around making all the dirt sites its thickest dirt on Ringside News because they're fucking credible, and then it went all over the place of the fact that it's being reported that Bray Wyatt was fired from WWE because he was impossible to work with. He was very difficult to work with
and out of shape
and out of shape. Here's the thing, though. If you read the article and you see where this news came from, it came from some dude's podcast who's no more credible than we are, who flat out admitted that he didn't have credible fucking people telling him shit. He wouldn't give any names of his people. So this news came from nowhere. This guy, for all we know, he fabricated this whole story up on his fucking shitty podcast. It got to the guys at Ringside News. They blew it up like it was a story. Then it went everywhere. Now it's a viral story and we have no idea if there's any truth to it.
Yeah.
And as a wrestling podcaster, I don't want to be part of that.
Uh-huh.
I want nothing to do with that bullshit.
When we say something on this show, we'll
give our opinions. But when we say something on this show, we admit flat out, this is our opinion. This is not news. We're not journalists. We're wrestling fans who come and talk about being wrestling fans.
Uh-huh.
But when you do the irresponsible fucking thing, you think you're fucking Dave Meltzer. And guess what? Dave's wrong 92% of the time too. You know, you think you're Brian Alvarez or you're fucking Ryan Satin. You know, you come in, you say the news like it's news when 90% of the time it's not. It's dangerous.
You want to know
and it's irresponsible.
If you people want a place to get wrestling news that's credible, go check out Post Wrestling with John Pollock. He is the most credible journalist, I think, in all of the wrestling and MMA industry. He's so good.
A close second for me would be Chris Van Vliet.
Yep, Van Vliet's awesome as well.
I trust everything I get from Van Vliet, but also Van Vliet's not news centric either.
What's the guy's name? Sean Rosen. What's his?
Rosenberg.
Yeah, something like that. I like him because he's a Cincinnati Bengals fan. But I don't know. I don't know what his credibility is like. But I saw he was a Bengals fan on the weekend.
Are you talking about the guy who does the WWE pay per view pre shows?
No. This guy's named Sean Rass. I'm gonna look him up.
I'm gonna look him up on Twitter right now.
Sean Ross Sapp of Fightful.com. Yes. I like him.
Yeah,
he's pretty good.
Sapp stuff has. Again, I have a hard time with a guy like him just because I don't know if I can trust him.
Yeah, I don't know about his news or whatever, but he's a Bengals fan. So,
but I do like
him. Twitter's entertaining. He seems like a pretty nice guy.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like a piece of shit like fucking Alvarez or Meltzer.
Yeah.
Or,
so yeah, we're obviously we're gonna still, if something big happens to the world of wrestling, we're still gonna talk about it. We're not gonna ignore what's going on in the world of wrestling. Mm. But for the most part, we just kind of want to come here and have fun, you know. You guys want to go on Twitter all the time and like it's so negative on the internet. It's so negative, and we want to be your guys' break from that. You know what I mean? I don't want to be the guys that are AEW did these ratings and Raw did these ratings. Just enjoy the show. Enjoy it. You can watch all wrestling, and we've said that a million times, and that's the way we're gonna do our show going forward. I do want to say real quick though, I did see some sad news before we move on to my list here. We're gonna do the list first this week. Ace Austin, his apartment caught on fire and everything got destroyed. And there's a GoFundMe set up for that. So if anyone's able to help out,
I'll throw that GoFundMe on our webpage. I think I'm going to make a special, charity, site on the webpage.
Yeah.
Where you can go to, you know, for things like SOS.
Yeah.
We talked about last week.
This whole month is dedicated to the good vibes for Scotty as well. So,
hopefully
we can get him kicking out.
So yeah, stay aware of the Canada7.com webpage, because I'll probably do something to I'll put a bunch of GoFundMes. Anybody's got a GoFundMe, because everybody knows we like to help the ones that we love, and we did the whole thing for Lufisto when she needed it, and I'm not about to not do that to anybody, for anybody else.
Yeah.
So so that's a great idea. Stay with me on this over the next week or two.
Yeah, and while we're plugging countout7.com, you can head over there and you can check out all episodes of Classic Match Classroom, Good Friends, Better Enemies podcast, subscribe to our YouTube, Twitter, all at countout7, blah, 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 blah. We say it every week. I had something else and I lost it. I'm sure it'll come back to me. But, oh, and you can hit us up. And we have T-shirts that we're selling now.
Yeah,
so and they're cool. We've sold a couple of them.
We've sold at least two so far.
Four. We're up to four now.
Four. Holy shit.
Three. Beauty. Three now. Sorry. Three.
Well, I've given one away. I've got one for our very good friend Rob.
Yeah, you gotta mail that to him. You're gonna get heat.
I'm purposely not sending it out yet, so I get heat.
Fair. We love your heat, Rob.
Yeah.
Well, let's see if Rob gives me heat this week on the list. What do you think, man? You want to get right into business this week?
Let's jump to the list. That way, the only reason we're doing things backwards this week, like Tyler alluded to, this this new show thing that we're doing with our rosters is going to be a regular thing on YouTube. So tonight we're going to pin it to the show, but we're going to do it at the end. And that way to give you a sneak peek of what you can see from now on, except it's going to be a little longer because we're both presenting a show this week. Plus, we have to finish drafting our companies.
Yeah,
we have five more wrestlers each to draft, and we got to build our broadcast teams.
Yeah, we'll go through that.
Yeah,
so
we have some work to do still. So we're going to do that after the list today.
And the list today is going to be the top seven Undertaker versus Mankind feud moments. And
yeah, baby. One of my favorite feuds of all time. I'm looking forward to this.
Oh, man, I think you're going to absolutely just hate everything I have to say about this list. I don't know why. When you get that feeling that I don't know. I think you're going to hate the order. I get
that feeling every time I make a list because you always shit on my list.
So that's part of my gimmick now. I got to shit on your list. All right, man. What do you think? You want to get a number seven? Mike's going to get a refill here.
Yeah, go for it.
While he's getting his refill, I'm going to kick us off with our number seven. I'm going to take us to the In Your House Beware of Dog pay-per-view, where Mankind cost The Undertaker the Intercontinental title against Goldust in the casket match. I love this angle. This spot was fantastic. For those of you that don't know, Undertaker has Goldust beat. He's ready to roll him into the casket. They lift the casket up and Mankind is in the casket. And it's crazy because they've done the casket open spot a few times. He wasn't in there the whole match. Yeah. He appears, hits the mandible claw. They put Undertaker in the casket. They shut it down. Goldust retains the title, which I like that little Mankind Goldust friendship they had. That was always fun little thing. And then to top it off, though, when they open up the casket again, the Undertaker's not in there. Exactly. And Paul Bearer's facial expression, whoa! Like it was such a fun angle. I love that. This might be an unpopular opinion, but I don't like a lot of the Undertaker. Like I love the Undertaker and I respect him, but like his promo stuff and the spiritual, like I just was never, that was never my thing that I was into, you know. And I always thought it was a little
For me. Yeah,
yeah, but I love this though.
I grew up loving horror movies and heavy metal music and, you know, anything dark, you know, I was kind of into that shit. So I Undertaker was my favorite wrestler at this point in time.
I didn't find this too over the top for me though. I really enjoyed this. Yeah. I really liked it.
I like all the subtle, like the nuances in this part of the feud. The gold casket for one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was a great touch. Just like you said, all the times that they opened the casket and, you know, so there's no way in hell you're thinking Mankind's gonna pop out of that casket.
Yeah, it was done so well.
Yeah, this Mankind Goldust friendship.
All right, there. So we're gonna move on to the number six then. After a little bit of technical difficulty, we're live, pal. Not really, but I'm just not a very good editor, so deal with it. My number six is
one. Funny, I just watched that Sid promo a couple days ago.
Oh, it's so good, eh? It's so good. That's where, did we ever tell the story on air about why I say we're live, pal? Did I even tell you why I say it? Have I ever told you that?
I mean, I just assume you just think that's a funny promo, so you just do it.
No, I had never planned to say that before, but when we first started doing our podcast, we used this device called Anchor. So we couldn't see each other. Like we were literally just, it was like talking on the phone. Right. And I just didn't know how to let Mike know I wanted to start the show. So I just all of a sudden blurted out, "We're live, pals." And it's become a staple of our show. I don't know where, I don't know why it came to my head.
No. Oh, I always thought you were, you know, you're just a fan of that Sid promo.
I don't even know how it came into my head that day, but that's it. Let's move on to number six here. Number six, we're talking. This is one that I originally had a lot lower on my list, but as I started rewatching a lot of stuff, it just kind of bumped up and up and up. And it's from one of my favorite matches, especially from the history of this pay-per-view, King of the Ring 1996.
Yeah, I always forget about this match.
I love this match, especially the opening couple minutes of it. When Paul Bearer makes his entrance without The Undertaker, Owen Hart's on commentary. We finally found somebody The Undertaker's scared of. And then all of a sudden the lights come up and The Undertaker's standing on the top rope. And that's cool. But then when he gets Mankind in the corner and just starts hammering those punches, and like Vince is like, "Oh, he's the best phenom in the history of the WWF," and JR is selling it like crazy. Like, I just, these guys just beat the hell out of each other. Undertaker puts the chair up on the Foley two-step elbow on the outside. I thought the finish was really clever to this match, where Paul Bearer went to hit Mankind with the urn, but he moved at the last second and he accidentally hit the Undertaker. And as the story would go on, how accidentally was that really, right? The small things, man.
Yeah, you know, the small things. At that point in time, this is June of 1996. You're not thinking that Paul would ever turn his back on the Undertaker.
No.
August, you look back and you're like,
yeah, all the little things.
You know, maybe it was intentional.
Well, maybe we'll talk about that in a little bit. I don't know. My number five, though, I'm going to something that you and I were talking about off air. The night after WrestleMania 12, the debut of Mankind laying out The Undertaker. You know,
honestly, I think you should put this as your number seven, because, you know, it wasn't that great of a debut.
It was originally actually my number seven. Then I thought about it a little more. And how many times have you seen people lay out The Undertaker in their debut? Three times total. One was Giant Gonzalez. It was really lame. One was Great Khali. It was really lame. But this Mankind one, they put him over so strong. And they got over that mandible claw finishing move like you wouldn't believe. Like, that move was, everybody was terrified of that move. It was protected. It was paralyzing, the nerve hold. And it's because The Undertaker was so credible and nobody ever laid him out like that before. You know, it wasn't just like a big guy throwing The Undertaker around. This was somebody that took The Undertaker out with a submission move. Like, I don't know. I thought that this gave instant credibility to a character that, you know, kind of was coming off a little bit cartoony, like in a creepy way at first, but it could have been a really cartoony character. And all of a sudden you lay out The Undertaker, and I think it's what made Mankind what he is.
Yeah. I mean, from that aspect, you're 100% right. But I mean, like, if you're just taking it from his actual debut, I maybe would have saved, because we've been getting those vignettes already, right? We know he's coming. We know he's weird. We know he's fucked up. So for me, why do you have him face Bob Holly first? We already have a feeling he's dangerous. We don't need him beat Bob Holly. No, he's dangerous. I say you keep him off camera until he comes out. It attacks The Undertaker.
Yeah, I wouldn't be opposed. I wouldn't have a problem with that either.
It's either that, or he waits a few weeks and then attacks The Undertaker. If he was going to attack The Undertaker on that night, I had a problem with him facing Bob Holly in a mediocre match.
Yeah.
First, and then coming out and, you know, waiting for what Justin Hogg Bradshaw to to beat up the Undertaker a little bit and then attack him. I don't know. To me, that part of it is a little bit sloppy.
Yeah, I think
I'm glad it's on your list. It's important to be on the list, but I think number five is a little giving it too much credit.
Fair, fair. Well, let's see what you think about my number four then. I'm going Undertaker versus Mankind Buried Alive.
Number four?
Number four.
Okay.
Well,
this is top two for me, man.
Disapproving here.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad it's on your list, obviously, but this is top two for me.
This was my original number three, but I changed it after rewatching some stuff. Okay. I love
this is number two for me.
Yeah. Okay.
Number two.
We'll see when I tell you what my number two is, if you agree with it or not. This was originally my number three. I changed it today after rewatching a match that I hadn't watched in quite a long time. This match was so fun, but more importantly, like the gimmick to this match is so perfect and fits these guys so good.
If it's the gimmick, if it's the characters, it's the first time we get something like this in WWE, so that was great too.
Yeah,
you always love it for, you know, you always remember your first time. It was kind of, I think it was kind of a callback, if you think about it, to, you know, what was it, Royal Rumble a few years ago?
Yeah, with all the heels coming out.
With all the heels coming out new and that. So sort of a throwback to that. I had to pick this match apart. I had to pick anything apart. You know, you for my money, you get Terry Gordy out of there. That didn't need to be.
Yeah.
But that's just nitpicking at this point.
But then you get the iconic moment where his everything hand comes out great. Of the grave.
Exactly. One of the greatest in that era of professional wrestling. One of my favorite moments during the actual matches, when the Undertaker hits Mankind so hard that Foley just throws himself off that pile of dirt and gets on, just goes rolling. Like, those moments were really cool.
I think you might have that mixed up, that spot. That's their tag team match. Rock and Sock. You're talking about when Big Show throws him off the stage?
No, they're fighting on the pile of dirt.
I don't remember that spot. I remember Big Show throwing him off the stage in a tag team match, and he like skids into the hole. It's like a shooting him like a basketball.
Oh, no.
Well, either way,
I'm just alluding to how hard hitting this match was.
Yeah, they beat the hell, and you could say that about all of their matches, right? And that's gonna go into my number three. My number three originally was a lot higher on my list until I rewatched it again. And I went with In Your House, Revenge of the Taker, The Undertaker versus Mankind, and the fire angle leading up to that as well.
Yeah, this is perfect placement for this.
This match is so good. That, first of all, the angle leading up to it where Foley hits him with the fireball.
The only thing I... problem I have is I know that there's a match you're putting in your top two that does not deserve to be over this match. But we'll get there when we get there. This match is better than that match. This is a great match. This does deserve to be your number three. It's perfect placement, and it's so fun. I love this match.
These guys really beat the hell out of each other this match. Foley takes crazy bumps. He takes the header through the table off the apron, where he literally goes headfirst through the table. I've never seen anything like that before. His mask is ripped off. The Undertaker smokes Paul Bearer with fire at the end. It's pandemonium. I just rewatched this one because in a couple of weeks, we're doing the debut of Kane on the Classic Match Classroom. So I started at this point, like the buildup for Revenge of the Taker. Right. It's the right place to start for that.
Of course, yeah.
All right, man. Number two, we're going to the SummerSlam Boiler Room Brawl.
Come on, are you fucking high?
Mike's hot, and we'll get to it.
How is this not your number one? How is this not your number? And now that I know what your number one is, I'm done with you. Like, this is fucking ludicrous.
From an angle standpoint, this was the best angle that they shot the entire time, the entire rivalry, the entire feud, the Paul Bearer heel turn, the Boiler Room Brawl itself. is okay as a match. I think it's a little overrated. It is a little slow. I think it's a little too long. It's about 28 minutes.
I'll agree about it being too long. I will not agree with it being too slow. It was at that speed for a purpose.
I get it, but I think the length of it made
it. They were trying to go. Yes, it could have been 10 minutes. They could have easily cut 10 minutes off it, yeah, but gone at the same pace.
Yeah, if they would have cut 10 minutes off this, I think it might have been my number one.
Okay.
But, you know, the big spot I love is when Foley's on top of the ladder and Taker tips the ladder over. But of course, the heel turn is what everybody remembers about this match. Paul Bearer, Mick Foley takes a sickening bump from the ring apron to the concrete floor back first. Taker gets in the ring, goes to get the urn to win the match. And Paul Bearer turns his back on the Undertaker, allowing Mankind to get back in, hit the mandible claw, take him down. Undertaker is crawling to Paul Bearer in the corner, who then hits him with the urn. Hands Mankind the urn, and they leave arm in arm. Uncle Paul is born. What a great angle this is.
Yeah, as a 15-year-old kid, this broke my fucking heart.
I can imagine. Broke a lot of people's hearts.
Paul Bearer was my favorite manager at the time. Undertaker was one of, if not my favorite wrestler at the time. And I was still at that age where I was like this was... You know, the storyline was meant a lot to me. It really did. Like, I think I think I was starting to understand the whole kayfabe. I think I was understanding that it wasn't real, but at the same time, these stories meant as much to me as any TV show. You know what I mean? So when this happens, and one of my favorite characters betrays someone he's been with for the last 5 years. It hits hard, man.
100%.
It was a great story. Great part of this story.
I really think it took a few months too for Taker to evolve properly enough where he was like okay not being with Paul Bearer. Because I think losing Paul Bearer hurt Taker a lot.
Definitely.
It took him
some time. Nitpick this whole angle, and you can tell me if I'm wrong about this. They kind of just let Paul and Mankind fizzled.
Yeah.
Like there was no definite, like, just went, Paul went from, you know, Paul just stopped being with Mankind and focused on the whole Kane thing. And
once he got back with Undertaker, that's where that's I'm in. Paul never went well. Cause they did, you know what though? No. Cause they did touch on it later on though. They fizzled out. They did fizzle it out. Cause Paul Bearer was blackmailing the Undertaker, right? Taker was back with him. And then Kane came back. So Paul Bearer was managing Kane, but then Kane and Mankind had a feud because Mankind was pissed. Like, where's Uncle Paul? You've taken Uncle Paul from me.
Oh, that's right.
So they did kind of do a little bit of a blow off.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, that was a great match too.
Yeah, you're right.
So
I told, and that was kind of the start of, I think they were planting the seeds to get Foley to turn.
Yeah.
Face.
Yeah, absolutely they were. Let's get to the number one. I know that you're not happy about this. And usually every week on the number one, we always say, if you don't like the number one, sell me on this. But I don't understand how you don't think this could be number one. So you tell me, how could Hell in a Cell 1998 not be number one?
Of people, including myself, and I guarantee you, even though you're going to lie to me and say no, doesn't remember a goddamn thing about this match or the two fucking spots.
Uh-huh.
This wasn't a match, and it didn't. And not to mention, the best parts of this feud were in 1996 and 1997, not 1999.
I agree.
This did nothing for the overall feud. This was two amazing moments etched in time. Your number five, your number one, just because this dude fucking did two crazy fucking spots. That's what gets your number one.
It's not my number one. It's not my number one because of that.
I'm gonna put storyline over. You know, it's substance over fucking shit any day. I don't care about the spots. I care about the stories. There's no story to Hell in the Cell 99.
This is one of the most iconic moments in professional wrestling history. Mm-hmm. Not Great. Just Undertaker Mankind feud, any other feuds. This is an iconic moment that lives forever. People remember this more than any other thing, probably in professional wrestling. When you're like trying to show your friends things that they don't watch wrestling and you want to show them something, people still go to this. Holy fuck, this thing is crazy. Are there better storyline moments? 1,000% there is. The Boiler Room Brawl is the best storyline part of all of their feud. But these guys were involved in this moment.
And that's what this was supposed to be.
But if you take this moment out of Mankind and Undertaker's rivalry, it will still be looked upon as a fantastic rivalry, but it will not have the iconic status that it does.
All right, we'll agree to disagree on this one. There's no way we're going to change each other's minds on this.
No, listen, it's not my favorite Undertaker Mankind moment either. I didn't make this list. I would like to put Boiler Room Brawl as my number one, but I can't when I have one of the most famous moments in wrestling history right there. You know,
I
know you would have, and that's why my lists are the best. Let's segue and see.
The numbers don't lie, son.
Well, yeah, you might draw more than me. But
the numbers don't lie.
Oh, that's too mean. I was gonna say an insult on you there. I don't even believe it. I don't believe this when I say it, but it's too good of an insult not to say. Okay, your lists are like the Dave Meltzer of wrestling, and mine are the John Pollock of wrestling. Yours are bullshit, and mine are credible. I don't actually believe that, but I thought it was
the numbers don't lie.
But the Wrestling Observer still makes more money. So,
well, there you go. At the end of the day, I would rather be John Pollock, but oh well.
So that is going to put an end to Count It Out with Mike and Tyler officially for the week. But keep listening, because we're gonna have some fun here. This is gonna be a little I don't even know how we're gonna do this. We haven't really talked about it, but we're gonna present our fantasy rosters here, our draft, and we're gonna present our first cards here. So we drafted our rosters. Do you want to read off your roster really quick, or do you want to just recap of what everybody's got? Because
I'd love to read off my roster, but before we do, let's let everybody know about the couple little trades we did.
Oh, that's right, we made trades.
Yeah.
What did I give you again?
Okay, so all through the I traded my number one pick from round two, CM Punk, for to Tyler for the Briscoes.
Yes.
And then, and I know people are going to be yelling at me for this, but I play the long game. I think the smart move in the long run for me. But I gave Tyler both Jay and Jimmy Uso for just Marco Stunt.
What but a I'm fucking okay steal. I like that.
That you know what? I think we both win in this scenario.
We'll see what you got planned for booking wise, and that helps me out, because now I can reunite the Usos with the big dog Roman Reigns, who's on my roster here. So Mike and I were each allowed to add 5 additional roster spots. Why don't we read off our rosters? We will announce our 5 additional spots, and then we'll say our managers and our announce team after that.
Sure. Okay, so we'll quickly reprise our rosters that we've done over the last 2 weeks as quickly as possible. I have AJ Styles, Josh Alexander, Jonathan Gresham, Big Ben Ortmans, Matt Cardona, Tessa Blanchard, both the Gorillas of Destiny, that's Tamatonga and Tamatongaloa, G Raver, Jeff Cobb, Prince Devitt, both Jay and his brother, what the fuck? I can't remember the Briscoes. I got the Briscoe.
Mark
and Jay Briscoe. Thank you. Fuck. Jordan Grace, AJ Lee, Mance Warner and Matthew Justice, the second gear crew, Will Ospreay, Cole Colby Carino.
Okay. Okay.
I have five more, but we're not going to go into that yet.
All right. And then for me, I've got Roman Reigns, Becky Lynch, Kenny Omega, MJF, Hangman Page, Jungle Boy, and Luchasaurus, Jurassic Express, Brian American Dragon, Brian Danielson, the tag team of John Moxley and Eddie Kingston, Walter, CM Punk, Brock Lesnar, Okada, the tag team of Penta and Phoenix, Deonna Purrazzo, Adam Cole, baby, Britt Baker, Charlotte, FTR, Cody, Nova, and the Usos. And then I have my five as well that I'm allowed to add on to that. And then you've got, right, what do you want to do here then? You kind of steer us here.
Well, let's start off by adding our five. I'll tell my new, I'll tell my five additions and you five additions. I took Josh the Goods Woods from Ring of Honor. I took Brian Pillman Jr. and Harry Smith. Mm-hmm. I took Big Scary Holden Albright, and I took Sammy Callahan.
All right, perfect. I took the Young Bucks. I took Santana and Ortiz. I took Kota Ibushi. I took Edge. And I have a mystery spot that I'm not going to tell you until I get to my main card. I have a surprise.
Fine. Okay.
Managers. Do you want to do managers?
I have a big surprise too, so I'm okay with that.
Sweet. You want to go to managers then? You want to bang off our managers? Or you want to wait on that?
Managers next? Sure.
Yeah.
No, I'm good with that. I'm not going to say what I'm doing with the managers on my card, though.
Yeah, that's fine.
My managers, we are truly allowed five. I have Petey Williams, Bronwyn Billington, Papa Briscoe, Angelina Love, and Sin Bodhi.
Okay, cool. I've got Tully Blanchard, Arn Anderson, Paul Heyman, Don Callis, and Wardlow.
Yeah, so weird to me.
Mike is, all Mike right, is baffled I'll let, that I've chosen go Wardlow over Ric Flair.
I really am. I'll let you go next and tell everyone who's working your commentary.
My commentary team is going to be on my color commentary is Corey Graves, NXT version. I want him to get back to that kind of heelish focus on the action. And he is going to be joined in the booth by my play-by-play man, making his return to professional wrestling, Mr. Oh My God, Joey Styles is going to be my lead commentator. My backstage interviewer.
That's a fun team.
That's a great team, eh? And something I like about that as well. Actually, I'll wait till I get in my show because I have some fun to do with that. My backstage interviewer is going to be Jesse the Body Ventura. He's going to kind of be a no bullshit.
Love it.
Channel your inner mean gene, but take it to the extreme because you're Jesse Ventura. He's not playing a heel. He's not playing a face. He's playing the body. You know what I mean? He's going to call out the heels. He's going to call out the faces. No bullshit with Jesse. I think he would be a great person to do with that.
I like it a lot too. My commentary desk is, I'm doing the same thing. I'm doing I like to go the old school heel face dynamic. I'm taking my favorite play-by-play guy in business right now, and Ian Riccaboni. And I'm putting him a heel role in the color position, Mr. Scott D'Amore.
Yeah, I like that. Scott D'Amore is a great talker. Absolutely.
And for my backstage interviewer, I told you I had a surprise coming, right?
Yeah.
Because I'm pulling the swerve. I pulled a swerve on you.
Yeah. Oh.
I told you off air that I had Quinn McKay.
Yeah.
But negotiations fell through. I couldn't get Quinn McKay. So instead, my backstage interviewer is the only Mr. Bill Apter.
Wow, that's so good. You told me for those of you that Mike and I were talking on, we did this draft just kind of talking over the phone the last part here. My original backstage interviewer was Renee Paquette, who I proceeded to wish her best in future endeavors about 35 seconds later. And then Mike picked her up and now has also wished her the best in her future endeavors 35 seconds later for Bill After. Wonderful Willie. What a great call. I love it. I love it.
Wonderful Willie.
So what do you want to do? You want to go first with your card or do you want, I just did a list. So do you want to put your card out there first?
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know how I feel about going first because you're ready to hate my shit. So
I'm not ready to hate your shit. I'm coming into this with an open mind.
I am. First of all, I got to give you a little background on my organization, and I'm going for a Canadian feel here.
Okay, love it.
I'm not saying it's only going to be in Canada, nor the majority of my members not Canadian, but it's Canadian owned. There's going to be a lot of Canadian passion, and we're not going to be a traveling organization a lot. We'll do tours here and there, but we're going to be in one, the majority, the kind of way, the way ROH and TNA are.
Okay.
And we're going to make a deal with the Mad Emmy Center, and we're going to do all our shows out of Maple Leaf Gardens.
Nice. I love that. I love that.
Right. So what else should call this organization that's right in the heart of you know, one of the big cities of our country, Toronto? You're looking at Big Smoke Pro.
Big Smoke Pro?
Big Smoke Pro. That's the name of my business.
All right. I like it. I like it.
Right downtown in the middle of the Big Smoke. And I'm big on calling things pro. I'm out of the hole, you know. I like the BSP. That's me.
There you go. The BSP. I don't have a name for my promotion yet. I don't know what to call it.
I'm going to go really cheesy with my my first pay-per-view's name. I'm just going to call it Start the Fire.
What is it? Starfire?
Start the Fire.
Oh, Start the Fire. Okay. I like that. Yeah. I like that.
You know, where there's smoke, there's got to be fire, right?
Can you, when you come on air, can you have "We Didn't Start the Fire" playing in the background?
But I can afford it after Wonderful Willie cost me too much, man. And I can't afford it now. So, as people are getting ready, and you know, getting in shit, I got to have a dark match going on, and I really want people to know that I'm not fucking around. So even my dark match is going to be a banger.
All right.
And even my dark match is going to have things where you're like, holy shit, I can't anything here. So in my dark match, it's going to be the Inspiration, formerly known as the Iconics, taking on Jordan Grace in a handicap match.
Okay.
Where Jordan Grace is going to pretty much dominate the majority of the match until finally the Inspiration will be pulling their heel tactics and really start, you know, getting the best of Jordan Grace. They'll end, Jordan will win by DQ, and then the Inspiration will just start beating the crap out of Jordan, doubling her and whatnot until, and this is what I'm saying, you don't want to miss a thing, because someone's going to run in and save Jordan Grace. And that's going to be the one and only AJ Lee.
Wow, you're really
setting up a tag match in the future.
You're really kicking things off strong with the dark match there.
I really want people to know that, you know, even if it's not on the main show, you can't miss anything on Big Smoke. And to prove that, we're going to cut it out. And I forgot to mention my general manager. Or president, whatever I'm going to call him. I'm not sure. My prime minister.
Your prime minister.
He's going to be Mauro Ranallo.
I love that, by the way.
Mauro will be the authority figure of the show. And he's going to start off this show by saying, go big, go home. We're going big right away. We're opening this show by crowning our first champion.
Wow. Okay.
And we're doing it in a 10-man battle royal.
All right.
The only rule to get into this battle royal is, if you want into this battle royal to contend for the world title, then you can't be trying to contend for the tag team championship or the the other championship that I'll talk about later.
Okay.
So that's the only rule. Here we go. Ever real match in this company. A 10-man battle royal with Josh Woods, Finn Balor, Matt Cardona, John Gresham, AJ Styles, Big Ben Ortman, Colby Carino, Will Ospreay, and I don't know what I'll end up calling him. We'll talk about this in the next week, but formerly known as Bray Wyatt.
Okay. I mean, you can call him Bray Wyatt if you want.
Yeah, we'll see. The first nine men get in the ring, Bray's a no-show. Bray didn't go up. So the first nine start going at it. It's great. There's a great spot I'm going to have where Cardona goes for a big lariat on Big Ben. Big Ben knocks it, throws Cardona over, eliminates Cardona, and Cardona is pissed to the point where when we're going to go old school heel on this, he gets on the apron, old school heel, even though Hogan did it. It's different and pulls Ben out too. And then yeah, Ben
like
and
that. I like that little
beat the crap of each other on the
other side.
I like
that pairing. I like that pairing a lot.
This keeps going until your final three are AJ Styles, Josh Alexander, Prince Devitt. And yes, I'm calling him Prince Devitt in my company, not Finn Balor.
Sure.
And then right when you think Josh is out in the corner, AJ and Prince Devitt are fighting at the ropes. You think it's almost over. And then Josh just makes a beeline. And he goes for a big lariat, knocks both guys over, but he goes out too. All three men are out.
Oh. We don't have 94. Okay.
We don't have... Mauro comes back out and says, no, it's not how we're doing things. All right, no problem. At the end of this show, the main event tonight, it'll be the three of you in a triple threat match. We are getting a champion.
Take my money. That's a big match. Josh Alexander, AJ Styles,
and Prince Devitt.
And Prince Devitt. Thank you.
So it goes into a tag match with the Second Gear crew versus the Guerrillas of Destiny.
Yeah.
Just to show a week in the tag team division, and I got the Guerrillas of Destiny going over clean. Then we have a backstage segment with Wonderful Willie himself talking to G Raver, and they're talking about building this new title. And it's cheesy. Maybe I'll change it. I was trying to think of a name for this title, and this title, like I said before, I want it to be like a mix between the X division and the hardcore division and with some death match in there. You know what I mean? So I'm calling it the client title. Okay. I know it's cheesy. I just haven't thought of anything better. So Bill Apter's talking to G Raver about building this division. And then Sin Bodhi comes out of nowhere with Big Scary Holden Albright. And he said, flat out tells G Raver, either you join us, or you end up getting flattened by not only Albright, but the only man scarier than Albright, who I'm bringing out later tonight. G Raver just walks away, and then the black. Match number three, just straightforward wrestling between Tessa Blanchard and Bayley. I have Tessa going over.
Yeah. That's a great match, Tessa and Bayley.
Yeah, exactly. Match four, we go straight into the next match where we have Marco Stunt versus Colby Carino. And Marco shows his wrestling chops in this match. He's trying hard to show against a real good wrestler like Colby Carino that he can wrestle. Colby's just too good for him. Ends up beating him with a small package or something like that. And just a real old school wrestling move. And Marco looks really upset with himself when he leaves. But the fans fucking love him. Love him. Then we get a backstage with Willie. Willie's talking to both Ben and Matt Cardona. And they're pissed at each other. They can't get enough. And they say, we got to do this. We got to do it in the ring. The very next match is Cardona versus Ben. Big Ben Ortman's.
Oh, getting right into it, eh?
right into it. And Matt Cardona is going to take the W on this one. But not being a little bit of a cheater through the match. And he's really going to give that face rub to Ben. You know, people are going to want to love Ben by the end of this match. That's the whole point of it. Then we got a backstage Marco Stunt and Bill Apter talking about how upset Marco is that he lost his match. And then Petey Williams comes out of nowhere and says, listen, you're not the biggest guy, but look at me. Neither was I. And some people might, I'm one of the best wrestlers on the scene in a certain amount of years. He goes, you come to my country right here in Canada and you want to make it big, stick with me. And then they go off air.
All right. I like that.
This goes straight into another backstage segment with Wonderful Willie. And Willie is talking to Bronwyn Billington and her newly formed tag team, The Cannons. And The Cannons are Harry Smith and Brian Pillman Jr.
So it's a play off the Loose Cannons, maybe?
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you call, why not? I think you should call
everybody's them. Everybody's done the Bulldogs. Everybody's done the Hearts.
Call them the Loose Cannons. You know, it's the already cannon, been done. I think you should call them the Loose Cannons.
The Loose Cannons?
Yeah. I think cannons sounds weird. The cannon sounds weird, but Loose Cannons, I like that.
So right away, Harry and Bronwyn talk about how, you know, Brian might not be a real Canadian, but just like his father, Canada is going to bring him in like their own, and they're going to be Canada's tag team because they are family. They might not be blood, but they are family. And then who comes around to laugh at them but Papa Briscoe?
He says,
if you guys want to see what family about, you'll get in the ring with my boys tonight.
I like that match a lot. That's a really good match.
So they set up Harry and Pillman versus the Briscoes for later that night.
I'm okay with you having the Briscoes since this is how you're using them. I'm okay with this.
All right. Next match, just to show again, no bullshit, no, just pure good wrestling. We're going to see Will Ospreay take on John Gresham.
Yep, fantastic.
With Gresham going over.
Yep, fantastic. Give those guys 19 minutes at least.
Yeah. Then we're going to go into the four-way climax match.
How do I get in that match? I'd probably be the first one eliminated.
It's Sammy Callahan, G Raver, Jeff Cobb, and Holden Albright in this four-way match. That's just violence. It's just fucking 15 minutes of fucking violence. That's all it is. It's one fall to a finish. It's not elimination. G Raver ends up winning by pinning Holden Albright.
Okay.
Which sends Sin Bodhi into a fucking frenzy. He already feels disrespected by G Raver. The G Raver didn't join his group, and now his boy got pinned, and he says, look what you've done. You've done it. And then the lights go out. And when they come back on, everybody's gone except for G Raver and Bray Wyatt.
Hey, okay.
Again, lights go out again. Come back. Nobody's there.
I like that.
And that's why Bray Wyatt didn't show up in the heavyweight match, because he's going to be in this. We go into the Loose Cannons versus Briscoes, and I have the Briscoes going over.
Yeah, I'm fine.
It could go either way. They really could, but I see a few here. I see a good collection of matches, so I'm going to give it to the Briscoes from day one.
What I like about this feud too is that you can spin that off and do a lot of great singles matches between the mm-hmm. four of those guys. So it's just fun.
Definitely. And then my main event. AJ Styles versus Privet versus Josh Alexander for the first ever Big Smoke Pro World Champion. I just have this being the triple threat match you know it can be, right? Lots of false, there's lots of like at no point in time do I want you knowing who's going to win this match, but in the end, I think it's got to be AJ.
Oh yeah, I think so too.
But when he leaves, you know AJ is a bad guy. When you go, you know, when they enter that ring, they go in as three heels. They go in as three faces. AJ leaves as a fucking heel.
Yeah, I love AJ as a heel. I think he does. AJ is like so good because when I want to say like AJ Styles is better as a heel, and then I watch his face work, I'm like AJ Styles is better as a face. Like he's just so good at both.
He's so good. You know what I mean? Yeah.
And he's great card, man. So you got AJ Styles as your first world champion coming out of this. No other champions are crowned yet, but you're setting the table.
I'm gonna spread them out a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that, man. I like that a lot. I gotta tell you, I would watch a show. I think maybe the death match isn't my type of thing. The hardcore match, sorry, I should say that you had in the middle, but I still think it would be executed really good with those four guys in it. And it, I like that it's a change of pace. It's something different on your card.
That's it. I'm not just throwing in deathmatch wrestlers to throw in deathmatch wrestlers. I like this. I'm gonna have guys who can actually go. That's why I put Jeff Cobb in there. I put Sammy Callahan in because those guys can. They don't need to do the violent matches. Uh-huh. They can still go.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I like it. I like the card a lot. I give you a solid 8-9 out of 10 on that.
All right, brother.
Great
all
booking.
Right.
Well, I like. I really like.
Good start on
my,
this.
I'm going to tell you my favorite part about it. Let's do that at the end of each thing. Mm-hmm. I want to say like our favorite part of the card like was. I like the Loose Cannons and Briscoe feud. That's got my money big time. I really enjoy that.
I thought you would. I mean, number one, you're a fan of all those guys.
Yeah.
You're also a big fan of team wrestlers. So I kind of had a feeling you would pop. I also thought you'd really think that not only is that tag team together a great tag team, but putting them, I thought you would enjoy as well. And you know, I haven't seen too much of Bronwyn work. I've only seen a little bit of her video, but I think she could get this done.
Yeah.
And I think she would be loved in Canada.
I agree 100%. I love your card. I love everything about it. Take my money. I put me in the front row of Maple Leaf Gardens. Now my last question to you is do you have the old school Maple Leaf Gardens ramp?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I could the only thing I was excited about when I went to that ROH show was that they didn't have it.
So we have the ramp then we're
good. Yeah, it's gotta be there. Yeah.
All right. I love it, man. I love the card. And if you want to hear more of Mike's cards, then I guess you're going to be 2 weeks, right? Because it's your list next week. So in 2 weeks, on every Wednesday, we'll drop this.
You'll be starting the show off proper next week.
Yeah. So every Wednesday, we'll drop this on a little fun YouTube bonus. Okay. We're going to get into my card now. I don't know what to call my card. So I don't know what to.
Okay. I'm going to go and do something of a personal nature.
Okay.
So I have headphones on so I can hear everything you're saying. So you start.
All right. Well, what. I'm going to start off with a dark match as well and my unnamed promotion. Mine is different than Mike's. I'm going to kind of take my favorite aspect. I'm more of the mainstream promotion here. We'll be in the big arenas. We'll be touring. Although I really love Mike's idea of hammering out of that home base. I will have a home base WWE is like New York. AEW is Jacksonville. I think that's something that's important that I should have as well. But for my first card here, we're going to be having this in whatever, just a big arena. I don't know. I didn't really think about that. I'm going to start off with my dark match of my unnamed promotion. And my dark match is going to be the Usos taking on Santana and Ortiz in a tag team match. They are, 12-minute match. I think just to get the crowd warmed up, I'm going to have the Usos going over on Santana and Ortiz. I want there to be a little bit of cheating on the Usos end, maybe feet on the ropes, maybe switching the guys in and out illegally, something like that. Just to let the Usos kind of, they're going to be paired up with Roman Reigns, who's a big part of my promotion. I want them to get off with a win strong, but these guys would tear the house down to open up the dark match. that's going to actually lead into one more dark segment.
You're starting strong, man.
Yeah, and I'm going to have a dark segment here where Jesse Ventura is going to interview Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus, you know, basically just saying, we're here to take on the best. I know we're not on the show tonight, but we've got our eyes to take over the tag team division. The interview is going to be interrupted by Penta and Phoenix. It's going to set up a match for the following card between a one-on-one match between Jungle Boy and Phoenix. None of that will happen tonight, but just kind of planting the seeds for the future card. And then it's going to, we're going to go into my first match on the pay-per-view here, Joey Styles and Corey Graves on the call. I'm going to be doing a four-man tournament to crown my first ever world champion. And we're going to start off with match one and that, and it's going to be the American Dragon, Bryan Danielson, taking on Okada. So we're going to come off real hot.
You're opening the show with Danielson and Okada. All right.
I'm opening the show with Danielson and Okada. Why not put two of the best wrestlers in the world for 23 minutes?
My fucking money.
Yeah, I'm not fucking around with this card, especially with my world title picture. By the end of this, you're going to have, you know, seven, eight real clear cut people that are going to be making this title seem important. I want this title to be the centerpiece of my promotion, and I want to have the best wrestlers fighting for this title. And I went with Brian Okada. If you hear that, I don't think there's a better way to open your pay-per-view or your event than having Bryan Danielson walk out. It's one of the most popular wrestlers of all time. I want Okada to get over here. So he's going to go over Dragon clean in about 22, 23 minutes of a classic. Danielson's going to shake his hand at the end of the match, put him over.
Yeah. This is one of those matches. I mean, Danielson doesn't get hurt here.
No.
You put him over. You draw to Okada, and like it's still a great match, and Danielson comes out clean in the end, anyways.
100%, and it's gonna put Okada over to a new audience. You know, he's very over the Japanese audience. The hardcore audience knows him over here, but I want to expand him even more, right? So we're gonna have Okada go over. And that's going to take.
I missed something in the beginning when I was taking my urination break.
Yeah.
Are you doing this show in the States or is it in Canada?
It's going to be in the States. I want it in a big market. Maybe like I think I'll probably do this out of the Barclays Center.
Okay.
I think that's the arena I'm kind of drawn towards. I don't want to do Madison Square Garden. That's kind of hokey. You know what I mean? Like we'll get there eventually, but I want to start this off in a pretty happening arena. It would either be the Barclays Center or maybe the Los Angeles, LA, the Forum, maybe. I'm going to stay away from Chicago right now because this show is not meant for Chicago because of my next match, Archie, which is going to be the second match in the world title tournament. And it's going to be CM Punk going one-on-one with Kenny Omega.
Come on now.
Yeah. I told you, my world title picture. I'm not fucking around on it. I got Kenny Omega being accompanied with Don Callis here. This one is going to be a little bit more of an angle than a match, though. They're going to fight for about 12 minutes. It's not going to go as long as the first match. I've got Don Callis is kind of interfering a little bit, tripping up Punk. And Kenny Omega is going to get pissed at Don Callis here, and he's going to tell him to leave. He's basically going to fire Don Callis in the middle of this match. Get out of here. I don't want this. I'm tired of your shit.
Did I have him?
Well, no, you can't have him. This is a story. There's a story to be told. Just because Kenny Omega fired him doesn't mean he's fired from my company. And I've got Kenny Omega winning in about 12, 13 minutes. I want New Japan, Kenny Omega. I want the ass kicker. I want my first main event of my pay-per-view for the world title to be Kenny Omega versus Okada. So that's going to be the main event of tonight's show.
Okay.
We're going to move on to number three. We're going to crown my first ever women's champion. It's a singles match between Becky Lynch going one-on-one with Deonna Purrazzo.
Yeah.
I'm going to have, I'm going to give these girls some time too. I'm going to give them, you know, maybe 12, 14 minutes back and forth match. I don't want anybody to outshine the other person here. I want this to be competitive. I've got Becky going over clean to become my first women's champion. I'm not going to have her shake Deonna's hand after though. Deonna will go for it. Go ahead.
Don't get me wrong. I love this match. Okay.
Yeah,
I really do. My only question is why do you go for picking two? Okay, one year my champion rather than doing a tournament or something like that. I'm not saying one's right, one's wrong. I'm asking why you made this decision.
I made this decision because I want to have a women's champion right away. I didn't want to do, I thought about maybe doing a four-way match, but I have plans for the other women on my roster that don't involve the title right now.
Yeah.
So I just took two of my top.
I get you, man. That's almost what I did for my world. That's almost what I did for my world title.
And I want to have a tournament for my tag team.
Because I wanted a tournament. And then I said, you know what? No, I want to leave my opening show with a champion.
Yeah. And so I want to have a world champion, a women's champion. And I want to have a tag team tournament to build over a few weeks to be crowned at my next pay-per-view.
Yeah, there you go.
So there will be a tournament, but I don't want to do too many tournaments because I'm not smart enough to keep track of all that anyways. So after this match, we're going to go backstage.
That's why I opened with a battle royal and didn't even put all my guys in it.
Backstage, we're going to an interview with Jesse Ventura. He's going to interview CM Punk about his loss. Where did Punk go from here? Before Punk can really say anything, though, Becky Lynch is going to walk to the back and cut him off and tell the loser to get out of the way because the champ is here. And if you want to learn how to be the best, then you should watch the man do some work. Just basically beat Punk down and have him walk away. You know, and Punk's not going to get his revenge here. This is not a good night for CM Punk. I'm going to kind of play off a little bit of the angle they're doing in real life now, but a little bit different where they have Punk winning from the bottom up. Well, I've got Punk coming back after 7 years and he's not winning right now. The business has evolved him.
I like that story.
And he's going
to, I like that.
Yeah. He's got to figure it out.
Because I got to tell you, man, I think you're booking Punk smarter than Tony is right now.
I like the concept they're doing with him.
I do, but they should have him losing because they don't. He's not an underdog.
Yeah.
He'll never be an underdog. So don't give me this underdog story with him of starting from the bottom and going to the top. You want a real underdog? Then have him get beat.
Mm-hmm.
Have him be like, holy shit, I haven't done this in 7 years. These kids that I thought were kids have been doing this now the whole time I've been gone, and they're kicking my ass.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is a story I can get involved in. That's a story where I'm like, okay, I can feel for this guy now.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm doing. I'm taking the blueprint that AEW is putting out there, but I'm tweaking it to where Punk shouldn't come back and be winning after 7 years because the business has changed a lot in 7 years. And he's going to find that out the hard way with my roster. Exactly. You know what I mean? Becky kind of just tells him to hit the bricks.
He's going to be in a fucking strong style. You're going to put him in a strong style match with Okada in 2 weeks and he's going to die.
That's it. And CM Punk will retire from professional wrestling. Next up, we're going to do my fourth match here. It's going to be a six-man tag match involving a stable that I'm forming here with FTR and Cody. And they're going to be managed with Tully and Arn, obviously, kind of that little horseman feel to it. And they're going to go up against Adam Cole and the Young Bucks. And this is going to be your spot fest match. This is going to be your flip flop, whatever, right? I'm going to have this not with a clean finish, though.
See, and this is where you start to lose me. The first time I'm all in. Because this has always been the shit of New Japan that lost me.
Yeah,
this is the shit of ROH that lost me.
Yeah,
I never got onto the. This is half the reason I don't like AEW. Well, these are the guys. Don't get me wrong, I love it. I really do. But this is going to be my piss break. I'm not saying it ruins your card, but this is my piss break.
Let me see if I can get you back with the angle I'm going to shoot here. I'm going to have the match end as a disqualification.
Cody doesn't have his wife with him, does he?
No. No Brandy. No Brandy. Arn's with Cody. Match is going to end in a disqualification. Cole and the Bucks are going to look like they're going to be taking the win down. I'm going to have Charlotte debut and hit some low blows and lay out the faces. There's going to be a beatdown going on here. And as the heels are weakening them over, I'm going to have Britt Baker run out and take out Charlotte. Have the faces kind of fire back. You've got a little 4-on-4 brawl. The heels will eventually take a powder. And we're going to kind of have this little... eight-man feud going on and building up over time between Cody, Charlotte, and FTR against Adam Cole, the Young Bucks, and Britt Baker.
All right.
So we're gonna. If anyone,
I'm gonna say you have me.
This is going to be long term.
Where you're going to go.
This is going to be long term.
If we didn't decide tonight that we were doing this YouTube show, then I would be like, whatever, I don't fucking care.
Yeah.
But the fact that we're doing this YouTube show, and I know you're going somewhere with,
I think it's okay, pretty obvious. I think you've got to know where I'm going for this eventually, right?
I'd like to think you might swerve me, so I'm not going to say a thing.
So that's my match number four. Match number five, we don't have a world champion yet, but I want to work on crowning a number one contender already. And so I'm taking a look at my roster, and I'm not doing a multi-man match here again. I'm taking two guys that I think are studs on my roster, and I'm going to have Roman Reigns versus Hangman Page. And this is going
as
to
soon
be...
As soon as you said two studs, my very first fucking thoughts were Adam Page and Roman Reigns. And this would be a phenomenal match.
But
I'm so happy to hear you.
There's a catch to this. This is not just who wins this match as my number one contender. This is going to be a best of seven series. And this is match one in that series.
Okay, I'm going to say things in all honesty. And I don't want to come off as this stupid, smart WWE hater. Do you think Roman Reigns can keep people interested for seven matches?
Yes, I think that this version of Roman Reigns can. I'm interested in Roman Reigns right now, and I'm not interested in a lot of WWF stuff or WWE stuff.
I'm interested in Roman Reigns too, but if you told me tomorrow that he's going to have a best Sami Callihan, I don't give a fuck. Or Sami Zayn, I mean. You know what I mean? Like, and I love Adam Page. Adam Page could have a best of seven with almost anybody.
If you take a look at Roman's body of work,
I don't know if he can hold seven matches because
you don't know if it's going to go seven phenomenal. Either.
His matches haven't gotten much better.
It might not go.
No, seven you could be matches. Like no, you could be Booker and Chris and go eight.
There you go. I'm gonna have Roman go over match one. I want this to begin. These guys are gonna beat the hell out of each other. This is like alpha male shit here. You know what I mean? Who's going to be the man? Who's going to be the man? I've got Hangman.
So we got to wait. We got to wait seven matches to find out which one is the best. Is the number one contender?
Yeah, but it's okay. Stick around.
No. I'm just asking. Yeah. I'm just.
Well, until the series is finished, it could be four matches, or it could be seven matches.
Okay. Well, I thought you said best of seven in the beginning.
Oh, sorry. Well, yeah, but if you win four matches, it's over, right?
Oh, true enough.
Best of seven, right?
Because my only question was, let's say, if you crown a champion tonight, then that champion's not defending it for another seven fights.
Oh, you don't know that. But I'm not going to have my champion fight every single card either. I'm going to protect my champion.
No, neither am I. Neither am I. But I'm going to have him more than we see on most TV.
Yeah, fair. I got Roman going over here. I've got Hangman is getting ready to hit the buckshot lariat. It looks like he's going to win. I've got the Usos running out to grab his leg just for the distraction there. He kicks them off, flips over to do the buckshot, but walks right into a Superman punch, which knocks him out unconscious, and Roman takes the win.
Okay. Sure.
So my next match here, this is my last match before the main event. I've got MJF has been cutting a lot of YouTube promos, basically saying, I'm the future. I see all these old people on the roster. I want nothing to do with them. I'm the man, blah, blah, blah. Me and Wardlow are taking over the world here. And Edge is going to respond to him. This old dog's got some new tricks. I want Edge and MJF to kind of have a thing here. So I've got a tag team match between MJF and Wardlow against Edge and a mystery person.
So are you cut out Edge and who?
A mystery partner.
Oh, here's where your mystery guy is. Okay.
Yeah. So I've got MJF and Wardlow in the ring. Edge, you have no friends. Oh, there's a mystery partner right there. Edge, you've got no friends. You've betrayed everybody you've ever known in the business. You're a piece of shit. MJF heel promo, let him get the crowd worked up. And Edge comes out with his tag team partner, Christian.
Holy fuck. All right.
So I got a fun
this
little...
Not where...
I got a fun little tag match here. Reunite Edge and Christian for one night only. It's a one-off. Christian's not going to be signed to my company, so I'm going to drop him on from the roster after this. I've got just let the baby faces.
So you're this whole fucking mystery guy that you wouldn't tell me about is a one-off?
Yeah, he's a one-off.
All right.
I just want to have Edge and Christian team up one more time. I want to have Edge and MJF
which I'm down with, but I almost gave Christian a job in my company just because of the Canadian thing.
Well, you can have him,
but I don't want him to wrestle because, yeah, I might. But the only reason I did is because like he worked so hard to get back to wrestle. I feel bad doing a wrestling position because I wouldn't. But with you. I don't know. I'm having a hard time with this because I hate Wardlow so much.
Well, you'll like this booking then. MJF's going to powder about 6 minutes into the match. The baby faces are just going to, you know, have fun, let the crowd be happy. And MJF's going to leave Wardlow alone. They're just going to beat him down and pin Wardlow, hit a 5 second pose at the end of it and just have that happy crowd moment, you know?
Okay. Can I take a really big sidebar for 2 seconds just to say something that really pisses me off.
Yeah.
There's this post going around the internet called the four pillars of AEW.
Okay.
And they're talking about Jungle Boy, they're talking about Darby Allin, they're talking about Sammy Guevara, and they're talking about MJF.
Yeah.
I have a real fucking problem with this.
Why's that? No Hangman?
How many matches can MJF have this year?
He's had a fair amount.
That man has wrestled 4 times in 2021, dude.
How many? Fucking four. No, really?
If you look at his AEW record right now, he's 3-1.
I'm okay with that. He's on the pillar because of his character work and his heel work, right? That's why
they go away, put Paige in. He's not a pillar. I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
That's right. That's
my sidebar.
Now that he's not being so indie with his swearing on and whatnot, I'm getting into MJF. He's got some good lines to him. He gets the crowd heat going here. I think him and Edge would. I think it's a great pairing to put him and Edge together. And that's going to be a program going forward.
Oh yeah, yeah. I would have put them in a singles, to be honest.
Well, that's where we're going to build. We're going to get there, right? I'm not just going to throw them in nothing. We're going to. That's what the point of this was, to build towards a single. That's why MJF took a powder before Edge can get his hands on him. Left Wardlow out to dry.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Right. Before our main event here, Jesse Ventura is interviewing Kenny Omega. You know, is it smart you got rid of Don Callis? Are you worried about repercussions? Kenny says that I'm done with that life. He talks about his legacy of matches with Okada over in Japan, puts over the importance of this new title, and he's going to show the world what that legacy is they've left in Japan. They're going to bring it to North America tonight, and we're going to crown our first champion. I'm going to have Don Callis come out on commentary for this match. So you reunite Joey Styles and Don Callis from their ECW days, which I think is really fun. A nice little nod. I'll have Callis maybe throw some network comments. It's a little smart mark comments. You know what I mean? And then
I'm two guys who already wrestled singles matches tonight in the main event.
Yeah. Yeah. We're crowning my champion tonight.
Okay.
You know, it's not much different.
Yeah, it's fun.
Not much different. You know, you had your battle royal with your, and then it moved into the triple threat. Our minds are thinking alike right?
Because I didn't want to give too much away. You know, my guys, a battle royal, so the focus isn't on anybody.
Yeah, I want the focus
to
be.
You already had the focus on Kenny tonight. You already had the focus on Okada tonight.
And that's where I want it.
Putting them together. Yeah, I
want it. I want it on the.
I like the match. I don't think I like the booking.
I want the focus to be on the world title. I want there to be a world champion tonight. I can't
why these two guys?
Well, I think if you think about the legacy that Kenny Omega and Okada have, that match is going to draw people with it. If just by teasing those four guys.
I'm not saying from a backstage. I'm strictly talking from a kayfabe sense, from a storyline sense.
I want Okada to be looked at as an immediate threat, immediate contender for the championship. I put him with Danielson and Kenny for a reason, so people can see what he can do. But I have a big angle I'm going to roll out here as well. So okay. We're going to have Callis on commentary. I'm going to get Kenny back, blah, blah, blah. You know, these guys are going to, I'm going to let them go though. That's why I only put 7 matches on the card, because I'm giving these guys 45 minutes. I want this title to be fought for tooth and nail. I've got both guys being down after a big series of move, ending with Kenny reversing a Rainmaker into one of those Snapdragon suplexes that he does. Referees checking on both guys. As this is happening, I have Nova running out. Our good old Canadian girl Nova is going to run out to the ring and distract the referee. As the referee is distracted, I have Walter running out from the crowd behind the referee's back.
Man, I forgot Walter. Yeah.
Yeah. I've got Walter coming in. Don Callis is on commentary. He grabs Kenny by the neck. I told you I'm going to get you back, Kenny Omega. But it's a swerve, and Walter is going to lay out Okada with a huge move, whatever his finish is going to be. Kenny Omega is going to get the win. Kenny Omega is going to be your world champion, as Don Callis tells us all how stupid we are for falling for this plan. I'm going to have Kenny Omega. Okay,
so first off, I love it. I love everything about that. Where's the referee in this? How did
Nova's got the referee distracted. Nova's tying up the referee.
All right.
Right. Walter's going to be in and out. Good. One big move to lay out Okada.
Yeah.
Put Kenny on top. Walter's out of the ring.
All right.
So now
I'm going to be honest with me. I'm going to be honest with you. You were losing me here. You really were. You were losing me with this main event.
You might be the only person on the planet, by the way, that says they're lost with an Omega Okada match.
Only because they both wrestled earlier on that same show with and then they're all of a sudden they're wrestling for the championship to me for no reason. You haven't explained why they're fighting for the championship.
Because it's a tournament.
So I'm lost.
It's a tournament that we're crowning tonight. It's a 4-man tournament. I said that at the top of the show. It's the same blueprint that WCW Mayhem 99 did, where they've had Brett and Benoit in the finals, but they both fought during the card, right? So I put them in the first two matches.
Maybe I missed that. That's makes a little bit more sense.
So they're in the first two matches because they have time to rest.
So is this a stable now? This is Don Callis with Kenny Omega, Nova, and Walter?
And Walter. And as they're standing in the ring. Yeah, great call. Great here, right? So they're all four of them are in the ring together. They're celebrating. They're holding the belt up. And then all of a sudden, you just hear a voice over the microphone. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Paul Heyman. And I have Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar walk out, stay on the ramp. We have a stare down between.
So you have him with. So Paul's with Brock and Roman in this?
No, Roman. He's not with
He's
Roman.
He's not with Roman.
Not with Roman at all. He's just with Brock.
Just with Brock.
I'm going to have my pay per view ending with Paul Heyman and Don Callis. Paul smirking as Callis is losing his mind because I like that pairing together. Brock pointing at the belt. Walter is going to move Kenny Omega behind him and step in front. And Brock and Walter are going to have a long distance stare off.
I like that.
And that's okay, how my,
you got,
that's how
you got my, me back on board. And I'll so tell now, you why you got me.
What's that?
No, you finish up.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, now I've got the tease. Brock Lesnar is putting out that he wants to be the champion. So I have a filler program while my best of 7 series is going on. Right.
Okay.
But Brock, you know, Brock's got to get through maybe Walter first. You know, we're going to have some fun with the booking here. I love the pairing of Kenny Omega and Nova together. I want Nova to be
his. Yeah, I never in 1,000 years would have thought of that.
But yeah, I want Nova to be his manager to start before I let her get in the ring. Because Nova's going to be one of the futures of my company. But I want her to get that main event exposure right away.
Yeah.
So I'm going to save her in ring. You know, I don't need her in my women's division right now. I've got Deonna Purrazzo. I've got Britt Baker and Charlotte. You know what I mean? I've got enough people that can work right now to Becky to hold onto the belt. I'm dropping Christian off my roster. I will pick up another woman, probably I think Sasha Banks I'm going to add to my roster, or Bianca Belair. I haven't decided yet or whatever. I'm going to take a look and add another strong woman into that roster.
Yeah. All right, man. I got to tell you. From an in-ring standpoint, you sold this card to me from fucking go. Okay. You gave me if I'm just watching, or if I just want to watch a bunch of phenomenal wrestling matches, you gave me a great card, 100%. You know, it's all tens and a fucking eight. Seriously. But 90% of the reason I watch professional wrestling is for the storyline. I didn't feel like you gave me a whole lot of that.
See, until, I'm going to disagree.
Until the end was amazing. You gave me that, like, so good that it fucking saved it for me. That brought that up from, like, I was ready to give you about a 7 out of 10. I'm giving you a 9 out of 10 just because you brought me back. Now I want to know what's going on next week.
I got to figure out what I'm going to do next week.
But coming out of this pay-per-view, though, from a storyline standpoint, I've got an 8-man war between, I know it's not your favorite segment, but I've got an 8-man angle send up between Charlotte, FTR, Cody, and the Young Bucks, Adam Cole and Britt Baker, which is going to take its time and have a big blow-off match. I've got Edge and MJF with seeds planted, and now I've got my main event angle. So I've got three angles coming out of this. We're going to have a tag team tournament coming up, and I've got the storyline of CM Punk.
The whole point of this first show, especially knowing that now that we're going to be doing this long term, the whole point of this first pay-per-view is to make you want to watch the next one. And if the question is, did you make me want to watch the next one? It's 100%.
Yeah, I want to see what you got coming up too.
I already would have said yes before the main event, but the ending to that main event is what sold me. 100%.
Yeah.
I do have a couple questions before we wrap this whole thing up. It's because anyone who's been listening has been listening to a long time. Then yes. we thank you for it. But this is just fun for us. So if you're still hanging on, we love it. Yeah.
Well, that's why we put the list on first.
Couple questions. Moving on. Number one. How are we doing our shows from this point on? Are we just booking pay-per-views like every time, or are we going we just did a pay-per-view, so is my next one supposed to be like a weekly?
I say we do weekly
show, or
let's build up to a pay-per-view.
Okay, so I'm going to do a couple weeklies and then another pay-per-view.
Yeah,
all right.
You can set how many pay-per-views you want to do, right? I think I want to do maybe 5 pay-per-views a year for my company.
Yeah, I was thinking about that too. My second question is, how often do you think that we should or can add new members to our roster without dropping anybody? I mean, the more successful we are as a company, the more money we get, the more guys we can bring in. So, and we're going to want to keep bringing in guys, but do we do it every, do we bring in a guy every week, or do we bring in
as long as we put a text out to each other and say, I want to add this person to my roster. So that way we're not double booking the same person. If you call them first, you get them first.
But if we're adding people every week.
Well, I'm not planning to add people every week. I left Kota Ibushi off my card. Think about that.
Yeah, no shit. I didn't leave too many guys off my card.
I think Ibushi was the only guy that I left off my card on my roster.
Well, you have so many off your card in the beginning that by the end, I was just like, oh yeah, I forgot about Nova. Holy fuck, I forgot about Walter.
Yeah. Oh, and I left Moxley and Kingston off my card as well.
Oh, that's right, too. That's right. Man.
Who knows if you're even going to have a home.
That's why I opened with a fucking Battle Royal so I can get my guys some time.
I think maybe in hindsight, I would have maybe dropped a couple guys and made the women's match a fatal four-way, but I'm happy with my card overall.
As you should be.
All right.
I am looking forward to you hosting the inaugural episode of our new YouTube show.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
It is unnamed for now, just like your promotion.
There we go. All right, man. Why don't you take us home on this marathon? Hopefully you guys enjoyed our rebooking.
On behalf of marathons. Tomorrow's gonna, I gotta go to jury duty tomorrow.
You watch a Pauly Shore movie to prepare for it.
No, I'm gonna walk right into that court. I'm gonna go, I don't think that was a fart.
Oh no, make sure you're wearing your Counted Out with Mike and Tyler t-shirt tomorrow too.
What? I should.
Good call. And which you can buy at www.countout7.com. Last cheap plug, take us home, my friend.
Boom. On behalf of our amazing t-shirts, we have
and Mike's out. Amazing farts.
Oh, I don't know.